We begin right away this hour with the escalating humanitarian crisis in Gaza as fighting continues between Hamas militants and Israel. We bring two voices and two perspectives now. First, a conversation I had earlier with one woman who was born and raised in a refugee camp in Gaza. Today, Gada Agil is visiting professor of political science at the University of Alberta in Canada. But before she had the opportunity to study and leave the region, her home was in the communist refugee camp in Gaza. She's a third-generation Palestinian refugee. Whether you find yourself agreeing or disagreeing with her politics, Professor Agil described what her life was like growing up in Gaza in what was a very emotional and heated conversation.
Part of my life, actually many, many years, I have been not able to leave the home. When I was 17 years old, it was, 1988 when the first intifada erupted. So there has been curfews for 6 years. I could not attend university when I was 18 because Israel closed all the universities in the Gaza Strip. The beach, which is like half kilometer from my home in Khan Yunis refugee camp, for 5-6 years in a row, we could not visit the beach. So when I was a mother, I could not nurse or breastfeed my son because if I live in the camp and I work in the city and there is curfew and or there is a checkpoint that has been closed by Israel, then I cannot return. So for 4 or 5 days, I am in the city and my son in the camp when he was, around 1 year. So occupation controls all your life when you are in Gaza, be it in the town or the refugee camp. Your dreams, your plans, everything.
You mentioned the current blockade, both land and sea, and this has been a major issue in the current conflict. We've heard from lots of not only political analysts, but people in Gaza, that many of your fellow Gazans actually support the conflict going on longer if it means the blockade can be ended. Not that they like the violence, of course not, but that they want results to end the blockade. Can you explain that point of view, what the blockade means and why people, ordinary people, would be able to go to such lengths see it ended?
Yeah, I mean, we want freedom. We want dignity. We want this blockade to end. And now, my brother is a doctor. Patients come, but there is no medication. My neighbors at the moment, they are sharing the blood pressure pills and diabetes because it's running low. My sister now is hosting 2 or 3 families in her home with no water, with no electricity, with no safety. So this blockade has been very long. It's time to end it. And this is basic humanitarian right. Now, Palestinians, they are not asking the impossible. They are asking to let people live normal life.
As Gazans strive for a normal life, one has to ask, Gazans' representative in this conflict for many years has been Hamas, and Hamas has had a policy of confrontation with Israel. Regardless of who has started each individual flare-up in the conflict, which is sort of incidental at this point, has Hamas's strategy of confrontation and rockets worked? They've led Gazans for all of these years. The point is, no results, no change in the conditions there.
But Hamas just came to the picture 7 or 8 years ago. Was the Gaza Strip in better situation before these 8 years? As I told you, I was born in the 70s. I've never witnessed or lived a calm day in Gaza. So just to put the conflict and the pretext of Hamas, before there has been Arafat and the PA, they are terrorists. Before that, it has been the PLO. Before that, it has been the Popular Front. I think Israel has to open its eyes. It's not about the leadership of Hamas. It's about a nation that has been subjected and oppressed and occupied for 66 years now. It's time to end this occupation. End of the story. I mean, when leadership are elected by people and they win the majority, then they are their representatives.
Is Hamas representing the interests of real people like your family who live there?
I think the issue, again, is not about Hamas. It's about...
But that is the question. That is the question. Do they represent the interests of real people who live in Gaza and are struggling?
I think... To put it on a Hamas, it's a misleading. I am a Palestinian that has been grown, raised, lived all my life in Gaza under different administrations. The Israeli ones, the PLO, the PNA, Palestinian National Authority, and then finally Hamas. These are the leadership of the Palestinian people who represent their aspiration, which are, again, it is freedom, dignity, ending the occupation. Very basic demands. We have to deal with it. Otherwise, we would always put a pretext. They are terrorists. It is Hamas. It is the rockets. It's the self-defense of Israel. What about the Palestinians? Aren't they allowed to defend themselves? Right, states has, you know, right to defend their civilians. But what about the people under occupation?
Professor Aguil, before we let you go, what is your hope for your family in Gaza? And I mean the way that they are living, quite apart from the conflict that the world is watching. Maybe it's impossible to separate, but what is your realistic hope?
First of all, lifting the blockade of Gaza. I mean, if you speak specifically about my family, so that they could live normal life. They could have water. They don't have water now. They could have some electricity. They could have some hope. They could have some, you know, control over their lives and their lands and their hope. For my grandmother now, she's 89 years old. This is her wish, that she could die in a dignified way. She just asked my uncle 2 weeks ago that if she, in the case of her death, to dig a hole under the mulberry tree and bury her, because it's not safe to go to the cemetery. So for my grandmother, I wish dignity. And in the next year, I hope for all Gazans to enjoy normal life by ending this illegal, inhumane blockade.
Professor Gada Aguil is visiting professor of political science at the University of Alberta, born in Gaza, longtime resident of Gaza, currently in Canada. Professor, thank you.
Thank you for having me.